All right, welcome to the Confronting the Serpent podcast. I'm Eric.
My name is Pastor Aaron from Freedom House Ministries in Hamilton, Ohio.
And Aaron, you want to tell our listeners why it's called Confronting the Serpent?
Yes. The reason we named this podcast this is that we want to be addressing false teaching, cults, heretical beliefs, things like that with truth. The first person to ever twist the scripture, the first heretic, the first false teacher we see in history, in the scripture, is Satan. In the garden, the serpent twists the word of God to Eve. We see then it being misapplied by Adam, not followed by Adam, but it all started with Satan twisting what God had said, what God had given to his people, his clear, direct commands and word. It was manipulated, it was twisted, it was taken out of context, it was presented to say something that God didn't say. And this was an issue in the garden, and it's an issue today. We even see in the wilderness when Jesus is fasting 40 days and 40 nights and he's hungry. When Satan appears to him to tempt him, what does he do? He twists the word of God. And he's been using that tactic against the nations, against God's people ever since. And unfortunately, many people have succumbed to this. Many people have been deceived by this. And so we want to confront those lies. We want to confront that serpent who is behind the lies with truth. And it is the truth of the scriptures. It is the truth of God's word revealed in the Bible that sets us free. Us knowing that truth, us being renewed by Christ, that brings freedom to our lives. And so we want to confront lies with truth, the sword of the Spirit. That is the truth of God's word. And we want to be just calling things out. We want to be addressing things. We want to be equipping believers to fight that good fight. We want to reach people who are being deceived by these kind of lies. And so we want to take a head-on approach to proclaim truth, to proclaim the gospel, and address these lies for the sake of the edification of the body, evangelizing the lost, and the freedom to God's people.
That's pretty good there, man. So a couple of things that we're going to be doing on this podcast, you know, as Aaron was just saying, is we're going to be talking about cults and cult teachings, things that pull people in, and they're lies that are used to control people and twisting the scriptures, as you were saying there. And we're gonna break all that down as we go through some of these episodes and some of these cults, some of them that Pastor Aaron has encountered himself, and many people that you know have been affected by cults.
Yes, absolutely. Just cults, false teachings in general, just bad theology, and it destroys people's lives. I can think of my own experience when I was 10 years old. My dad, who raised me, he was my grandfather. Biologically, he was my grandfather, but I called him and my grandmother, mom and dad. They had adopted me, and I lived with them. They were my parents. And he got really sick when I was 10 years old. He had a hereditary lung disease, and that it just like really took a toll on him. And so he dies in front of me in October of 1991 at the hospital. And I had been under the impression, because I had been taught in Christian circles, that anytime someone gets sick, if you lay hands on them, they will always get better. That if you anoint them with oil, they will always be healed. But so after hearing that and doing that and praying for those things and being told that that was always going to be the outcome, I was then faced with the reality that here I am, this 10-year-old boy who had no idea why I was looking at my dead dad in front of me. And so that horrible theology devastated me. It hurt me. It caused me to doubt God. It caused me to hate God, actually. It caused me to hate life and things. And it caused me to just be very attracted to things that I went down a path of pursuing, as far as like crime and gangs and drugs and things like that. And so had I been raised up with more sound theology, more biblical truth that says, hey, sometimes God heals, sometimes he doesn't, but in all cases, God is good. Man, that would have been so different in my life. And so, so bad theology doesn't just affect who we listen to or what church we go to. It actually does damage. It brings death. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the main ways he does that is through distorting the truth. In my experiences with my own biological father, who, you know, he was a very difficult man, very troubled man. And I think part of that came from he spent a lot of time in a cult. He was part of the Worldwide Church of God. That theology now is known as Armstrongism. And because of that, he was a very racist man. He had a very skewed view of God and the gospel that really affected his life in a huge way. And so just seeing how false teaching and the lies of heretical teachers and preachers have affected those around me and myself has really given me a huge passion for seeing people be freed from those things. And then also in my early walk with Christ, God saved me in January 1st, 2002. I wasn't at like a lock-in or an event or anything like that. I was in my basement in Hamilton, Ohio on Hensley Avenue, and Christ rescued me there. It just happened to be the first day of the year, 2002. But early on in my Christian walk, I was around circles of really like mystic kind of NAR, and that's the New Apostolic Reformation. So think of places like Bethel, IHOP, things like that, and that kind of belief. And that really skewed the way that I viewed Christ, the way that I viewed my relationship with him, the way that I viewed how he interacted with me and worked in me and through me. Also, I was part of a church for a long time that had a very harsh and toxic view of the will of God, that the will of God isn't something that God does. The will of God is something that he may or may not leave breadcrumbs for you to figure out, and he's wanting you to kind of unsolve the mystery and unlock the puzzle. And I saw to where that was used very often to manipulate people. It was kind of odd. They had a Arminian view of salvation, but a Calvinist view of marriage, that you chose God by your free will, but God chose sovereignly, like predestined your spouse. It was kind of weird. And so how those two things worked out, but they would use that to manipulate people. Are you sure this is God's will for you to do this job, to be this way? And it was incredibly controlling. It always seemed to work out for the pastors and the church as a whole's advantage. And it was just very manipulating. So just seeing some of those things in my life has really caused me to want to see, like, just be clearly proclaim and teach and articulate the scriptures, to point people to biblical truth, and to just proclaim the gospel, because it's ultimately the gospel that's going to free us from these kind of deceptions and pitfalls that Satan puts before individuals, nations, churches.
And that's we're going to cover all that stuff too, because we're going to be doing not just talking about cults and their teachings, but also we're going to be doing some what you described as horrible book reviews. Not that they're horrible reviews, but that the book is horrible. And so we're going to review it, why it's horrible, what's wrong about it. And I know you have some books already picked out, mm-hmm. but I think we should do The Shack at some point. That is my favorite one to go after. And you know, we're also going to be talking about false teachers and prophets. There's quite a few of those people out there, especially the ones I always think about. End of the world, Jesus is coming back this day at this time, mm-hmm. false prophets and teachers. And man, those people, they have convinced people to throw away their entire lives. I remember seeing a video of some guys just like sitting on a hill, and they were told that Jesus was coming back, and they're just sitting there waiting, man, and like he never came. Mm-hmm. And it's like, because you're an idiot. Yeah. The Bible literally says no one knows the day or the time. So how exactly did you think this dude was going to know? Mm-hmm. So it's interesting stuff that we're going to be debunking here and just shutting down, you know, so people can hear the real gospel.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, we'll talk about some sermons, preachers and teachers, and really cover all that kind of stuff here on this podcast. So it's going to be exciting. We're going to have some great stuff coming out. You know, here in the next, you know, 2-3 weeks, I think we'll be getting quite a bit done here.
Absolutely. I'm excited. I'm excited to hear from the people that are listening, to hear what their encounters with false teachings and cults and how it's impacted their lives and how God's freed them from that. So we're going to be having outlets to where you can, like, you know, an email and you know, social media engagements, because we want to hear for your stories as well and how we can come alongside you. And a big part too is we want to equip people with loved ones in these things. Like, how do we start the conversation with addressing the false teachings that people are in? Because literally this is robbing people of truth, and it is devastating people's lives, because that's what Satan does. What I found with pastoring Freedom House, a church in a very hectic, difficult context in Hamilton, is that it is much easier to share the gospel with the person who is strung out on drugs, involved in criminal activity, who knows their life is a mess, who knows they're in rebellion against God, than it is for the person who is deceived by a gospel of works or the word of faith movement or some other thing like that, who they think they're okay. They think they have truth, and in reality, they don't. And so often, it's so much easier to talk to the person who's just obviously and living in a life of open, rebellious sin than the person who's sitting deceived under lies. And so we really want to come alongside pastors and parents and family members as you engage your loved ones and those around you with truth, kind of debunk those things and to build up just proclaiming the gospel.
Yeah, and we're going to, you know, do our best to give the scriptures and tools that people are going to need to help bring these people that are caught up in these, like you were saying, they're just captured into these. They honestly believe that they're following the true gospel, but they're not even allowed to read the Bible in some mm-hmm. cases. You know, like having a Bible isn't allowed, but you know, it's this is true Christianity, but you're not allowed to read the Bible, which is just crazy to me. We're going to be trying to give people the tools and the scriptures to talk to those members, that, you know, family members, friends that are caught up in that.
You know, when the sun sets free, it's free indeed. You'll know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And so that's how we want to see these people be freed from these lies, because there's false teachers, false prophets that are using the word of God out of context. They're misappropriating it. They're misusing it to try to say something that God didn't intend for it to say. And who did that? The serpent in the garden. And that's why we want to confront these lies. We want to confront this enemy with truth, because this isn't just like theological discussion or lofty ideas or academic debate. These are real people who are affected by these horrible lies that desperately need to hear the power of the gospel to save and to make new.
And with that, I actually wanted to read a couple of these scriptures that we talked about when we first started planning this podcast. So the first one is Ephesians 5:11. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. So here we're just doing what Paul says. We're going to be exposing the unfruitful works of darkness. That's exactly what the things that we're going to be talking about are. And the other scripture I want to read is Jude 1, obviously, 3-4. And that is, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our holy master and Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. And think about that with those two passages. So often the church will kind of romanticize that early period of church history right after the resurrection and the ascension of Christ. And, oh, if we can only get back to the early church. Well, that's the early, early church, and they're dealing with false teachings, they're dealing with heretics, they're dealing with people who are pretending to be followers of Christ, but yet are teaching and preaching things that are demonic and evil. So exposing, contending, confronting, those are biblical mandates just as much as love your neighbor and forgive your enemy and feed the poor. Like, so we're called to do these things as well. So this isn't us wanting to be contentious or us just wanting to be antagonistic. This is us wanting to obey Christ by shining light in darkness, exposing sin and proclaiming the gospel above all. And so seeing those who are captive and being held by these lies, made free, made alive, and walking in the fullness of Christ.
Yeah, and we see it all over our society, these things that capture people and pull them in. And like you were just saying, it was there in the beginning too. In the very beginning of the church, it was there. And even so, it was there before the church also. You know, we can look at Ecclesiastes, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. And it's so true. Even today, these things have been around since the beginning of time, since that first time that man was deceived in the garden by the serpent, and thus confronting the serpent. Here we are.
Absolutely.
Again today, yet still.
Yes. And we'll be doing this. The church is called to confront lies with truth until the day that we take our last breath or Christ returns. But we are to be exposing lies and exposing darkness by the light of Christ. They don't need self-help. They don't need more self-esteem. They don't need 10 different ways to love yourself better. They need the truth of the gospel to tear down the lies that have been perpetrated to them so that they may see truth as it really is, as Jesus for who he really is and how he's called them to truly live. And so pointing people to the truth of the gospel and proclaiming the scriptures rightly and accurately. You know, some of my favorite moments as a pastor is when preaching a text, going exegetically through a book of the Bible and exposing false teaching, and somebody comes up to me and says, you know what, I've always heard that verse preached this way, but I never seen that. Yeah, it's not us who calls things to not as though they were. It was God that I never saw that where it says whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven had nothing to do with Satan or demons. It was about church discipline there in Matthew 18. So just pointing people to true faithful interpretation of the scriptures, proclaiming the gospel while directly confronting and addressing lies, cults, false teachers, horrible books. Can't wait to shred the shack up either, you know. So but yeah, it's all a part of edifying God's people, seeing the lost saved and the glory of God be proclaimed to the nations.
So what are some of the topics we're going to be covering here in the coming months, Aaron?
So some of the false teachings, cults, things like that that really have a huge desire to hit very early on are hopefully some of the ones that maybe you haven't heard so much about in other podcasts and things like that, but are owning people, devastating people nonetheless. We want to start off with the false religion called Ekankar. You may not have heard of that. You may be like, what in the world is that? But it is a false religion that preaches a false god, and it is manipulating and lying to thousands and thousands of people across the world. And so even though it may not be as huge as other false religions, it is still just wreaking havoc and is a tool of Satan to deceive people. I want to talk to people who are affected locally by the Gladstone Community Church in Cincinnati. This is the where we may get sued part. That there is a local church here to us that is legitimately a cult. They separate people from their families. They control their money. They control who they talk to, who they listen to. And so we want to address that. We want to talk about what they believe. We want to talk about how it strays from scripture. We want to empower family members who have loved ones who are caught up in this cult. How do they reach out to them to the gospel? We want to minister to those who have gotten out of that cult, to where now that they don't see Christ through the lens of this bad experience, but they see him through the lens of truth and the gospel. And we want to also, man, hopefully this gets to the ears of those who are in this cult, and that they would know, like, man, there's a way out. There's people that love you. There is the true gospel that will save you, and that God would not call you to abandon your family. He would not call you to do these kind of things that this cult is telling people. Eventually, we want to talk about Armstrongism, the Worldwide Church of God. That's a personal one for me. As I mentioned earlier, my biological dad was caught up in that for a long time. And so it's not as popular as it once was, but I know there are still people who would believe that. There are still people caught up in that doctrine and that system that we want to preach the gospel to. We want to talk about the misuse of Christian rehabs. We as a church should care deeply about brothers and sisters who are in the battle of addiction. I've gone through that battle myself. I have a history of drug abuse and just being a part of that lifestyle. I know how devastating that can be, but unfortunately we have wolves who are preying upon people under the guise of Christianity and healing, and they are exploiting them for free labor. They are exploiting them for just their own monetary gain. They are abusing them, then just kicking them out. This is horrible. This is a misuse of the scriptures. This is wrong. And so that needs to be addressed. That needs to be confronted with truth. Obviously, we want to talk about the NAR, things like Bethel, IHOP, the false prophecy movement of today and how devastating that can be. I find it so ironic that so many people from that background will argue about simple things like, should you gather with the church? Should you be a part of the local church? But then expect people to believe them about a dream that Jesus told them to do these things. Like, you don't even trust God in the most fundamental parts of Christianity, yet you want people to follow you because you said you had a dream once and just this kind of craziness. And so numerous things like that, false teaching books. We just want to confront lies with truth. And also, we want to just not you take our word for it that this isn't good or this is right. We want to look at the scriptures. We want to hold things accountable to the text. We want to hold books accountable to the text, ministries, pastors, all those things. And something else we would encourage you to do is to hold us to the text. We're not just asking you to take our word for it because we say it, because then in a lot of ways, we would be like the very same people that we're confronting. So hold us accountable to the scriptures. Like, don't just take what we say at face value, but go to the text, know the word of God, discern what we're saying against the word of God. And that's something, as a pastor, I encourage the people at Freedom House all the time. Like, hey, just because I'm your pastor and just because we know each other, don't take my word for it. Like, look in the scriptures, you know. So we want to equip you to be able to discern using the scriptures, what is true and good, and what is dark and what is false. And ultimately, we want to be proclaiming the gospel and all these things.
1 John 4:1.
Yes.
I remember learning that scripture early on when I was a Christian, and having grown up Catholic, never would have thought to go to the scriptures, never. And it was actually a mutual friend of ours who, you know, that was one of the first things that he taught me when I started going to his Bible study. When I thought I was a Christian, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to talk about those people too, the ones who think they're Christians. And mm-hmm. it's just like, oh, we just want to love everyone and feed the hungry and clothe the, you know, poor and all that stuff. That's not really sharing the gospel. That's not loving people. And we're going to talk about how the idea of preach the gospel and if necessary use words is just completely ignorant and stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely want to tackle a lot of the cliche one-liners that are not useful and just, yeah, not great at all. That's one of my favorite ones. That's essentially like saying feed the hungry, if necessary use food. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Only if you're crazy.
Yeah. So. Yeah, but that kind of like generic, like small C Christianity right there, you know, it's just kind of like this form of like religious structure, but no real power, no real depth, no real theological convictions, no real zeal for Christ or urgency for mission. Just kind of like, you know, it's, you know, essentially Mr. Rogers.
Never liked that show either.
So. Daniel Tiger creeped me out.
I've never watched that one before.
Yeah.
The Lord has blessed me this day. <That's> Many awesome. Days, actually. I've never seen it.
You know, in talking about that, our main mission is going to be confronting lies with truth, and that truth being the gospel. We don't want to fall into that snare. So many do, and that's assuming that people know what the gospel is. The gospel is good news, and that good news is that God sent his son to die for sinners, like me, like Eric, like all of us. That none of us in and of ourselves are deserving of God's love, are deserving of God's forgiveness, are deserving of being with him forever, are deserving of his blessing. In fact, we're all deserving of the opposite. All of us have sinned. All of us are not just victims of Adam. We're accomplices because we were born dead in our sins, totally depraved from the fall. And because of that, we have all loved other things more than God. We have all pursued joy in sinful things, just spitting at the glory of our Creator. And it was while that we were in this state that God gave his son to die for us. That we see in Romans 5:8, that for God so demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So Christ didn't die for me as a pastor or a teacher, or a father, or a husband. He died for me as a blasphemer, as an idolater, as a drug addict, as a drug dealer, as all these things. That's who I was when Christ died for me. And yet I'm made new today, not because I changed those behaviors, but because Christ gave me a new heart. Because on the cross, he took the wrath that was due me and imputed to me a righteousness that was not my own. And that's the good news. Not that people will be saved because they fix their theology or that they leave a cult. People will be saved because of what Christ has done for us in his life, death, and resurrection. And that we proclaim the gospel so that by the Holy Spirit working through that, that ears may be opened, eyes may be turned to behold the glory of the Father in Christ, and that they would see and hear and know and be made new. That Christ is able to make free and forgive not only the person bound into the cult, but also the cult leader. Not just the person adhering to the heretical teaching, but the heresy, that the heretic that is preaching it. Our hope is that all who hear this good news, would know that Christ lived a perfect life that we could never earn, that we could never live. He died a brutal death under the hands of sinful men, under the wrath of a holy God. And he rose again, and he is the living Savior. And he alone is our hope of salvation. Not any man who would call himself a prophet, not adhering to any kind of rules or regulations, not doing enough or doing less of this, but our hope is in the good news of Christ. That I'm reconciled to God today because Christ's perfect righteousness has been given to me, because my death that I deserved and the hell that I had earned was put upon Christ. And he rose again, and he keeps and sustains us. And so ultimately, we're going to get into a lot of topics and things like this, but it's about preaching and proclaiming the good news of the gospel until he returns. Awesome. Looking forward to it, and we'll see you guys soon.